Susie and I, it's been a few years ago, spent a little retreat up at Quaker Haven Camp, sort of like the way I did this past November. They provided one of the cottages for us, and we had a nice, relaxing two or three days. But then on the way home, we stopped through North Webster. Those of you who know that area, there's this huge shoe outlet there. I mean, I've never seen anything like this before. It's just filled with floor after floor of shoes and aisles, and it's easy to get lost in there. And there were some pretty good deals. And I found a really nice pair of brown loafers that I wanted, I usually wear black shoes, and I thought that'd be kind of nice to have a pair of brown shoes. And so I looked at the box, and there it was clearly on it, my size, 10.5. And the price was great, and I walked out of there feeling really victorious. I got home and put the shoes on. It seemed great until I put the shoes on and began to walk, and they did not fit. I mean, it was painful. The top of my foot, you know, there where your arch is, it really hurt to walk around in these shoes. But I'm a stubborn guy, and I thought, well, I'm going to keep wearing them here. They'll surely break in. And finally, the pain got to the place where I thought, this is stupid. Usually takes me a while to suffer until I realize something I'm doing is stupid. And I realized that, as so many of you have mentioned in what you had to say earlier today, that in so many ways, faith is like a pair of shoes. That sounded kind of like Forrest Gump, didn't it? Faith is like a pair of shoes in so many ways. It comes in all kinds of shapes and sizes and colors and styles, dressy, casual, costly or not. But the most important thing to consider when deciding about our faith and about how we're going to do this walk is, does it fit us? Now, you know, I have tried a lot of different faith shoes on through the years, and I think I've learned a thing or two. As I said, when things hurt, that's usually a good motivator to make a little change in how I'm doing things. So we better take a walk and determine whether this faith that we're choosing fits us. Because, you know, one of my favorite Dallas Willard one-liners is, reality is what you run into when you're wrong. It's a great teacher, isn't it? Reality. Even if we think we know our shoe size, we still better try them on. Better take a walk in them, because if they don't fit, sooner or later, we're going to pay for it. Faith is like a pair of shoes. Well, we're getting ready to begin a new leg of the journey, so to speak. We're going to walk through this threshold that we call 2019, and we're going to continue to walk in the days and the months ahead. We're going to need some shoes that fit us. I would like to humbly suggest a few of the things that I'm learning, a few of the ways I'm learning to wear a faith that fits me, some of the things I've learned the painful way, to realize that I needed a better fitting faith, because we walk by faith, not by sight. So one of the things I'm learning is that faith fits when it's about teachable humility. Because I can become a know-it-all really quickly. I've got this master's degree in this stuff. I know more about this than anybody. Wrong. It doesn't fit us when we live with a delusion that we already know it all. Humble, teachable faith. That's what keeps us walking. Think about that wonderful love chapter in 1 Corinthians 13, where it says, we see as through a dimly lit mirror. Or I like the way the Message has it. We see, we're squinting in the fog. I think the Greek word there actually is the word enigma. We see it and it's like a riddle. We're still learning and figuring it out. I may have shared with you before, but back in my undergraduate days, I was a social work major. And I took two classes that sounded very interesting and helpful. One of them was courtship and marriage. I got an A in it. I took another class. It was called The Dynamics of Marital Interaction. I got an A in it. 2 months after I graduated, I got married. And I quickly realized I got a lot to learn. And it's been one of those things for the last 42 years. Because, you know, there's a world of difference between acquiring information and living in a relationship with a real, breathing human being. A person who had a will of her own. Knowing and loving a human being is very different from reading books. Books can be helpful. They can be a good guide. But until you start walking, you don't know what's going to hurt. Because we walk by humble teachability, not by know-it-all arrogance. We walk by faith, not by sight. So to stay with the relational way of thinking about this, faith, it fits when it's actually finally about loyalty and commitment and steadfastness. Faith doesn't fit when it's mainly about how I feel today. I'm not going to ask you to report about this. I'm going to ask you to think about it. Those of you who have been married a long time like I have, do you feel great every day? You know, what I've experienced in life and marriage and all my relationships is that one day I can be on cloud nine and the next day I'm flat as a pancake, right? Because it all changes. What doesn't change is our commitment. And that's just as true in the life of faith as it is in all of our human relationships. Because, you know, in a way, we could actually say that these important relationships that we have are faith-based. And if you're going to have a marriage that works and that lasts, it better be founded in something other than how you feel today. And so it is with a relationship with God. So often in the Bible, the writers actually compare our relationship with God to a marriage. And it's not a mistake. It's completely fitting that the church is called what? The bride of Christ. Look at the book of Psalms. Every human emotion you can think of is being expressed in there somewhere. Everything from exaltation to burning anger and a desire for revenge and deep depression that's in the pits and the sense of being abandoned and the sense of being betrayed by somebody and the sense of being very sick and on the verge of dying. But the point is that these words are given to us to be expressed in a faith relationship with God, because the point is that we trust God and God's commitment to us enough that we can be who we are and say what we're feeling and realize we're not going to be kicked out of the party. Because feelings come and go and life's going to present a lot of feelings. So we got questions like, what are you going to do with your anxieties? What do we do with our grief? How do we handle it when we're angry with life and consequently with God? How do we handle it when we are attracted to unfaithful ways of living? We keep walking with God through our ongoing commitment. We walk by steadfast fidelity, not by fleeting feelings. We walk by faith, not by sight. So you see that faith is really about a growing trust. We're walking in ill-fitting and very painful shoes when we hold on to our anxious attempts to control life. You know, it's been rightly said that if you think about what the Bible calls sin, it's really the control disease. It's about trying to take a place in life that's not ours, it's God's. It's as irritating and painful as wearing the wrong shoes. And so this disturbing reading from the letter of James that Aaron shared with us a few minutes ago points out a very foolish way to walk. Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a place and spend a year there doing business and making money, yet you don't even know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. But here's the teaching. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wishes, we'll live and do this or that. I don't know about you, but I'd rather be in charge. I'd rather direct people and events. How's that working for me? It hurts like an ill-fitting pair of shoes. You know, I am convinced, actually, that I would be in complete control of life if it were not for a mere three things. Other people, the stuff that happens, and myself. I can't even control me sometimes. And the harder I try, the worse it gets. So I think one of the important tasks for us is to recognize who's running things. At the beginning of a new year, most of us, how many of you have got your 2019 calendars? Okay. It'd be interesting to know what kind of calendar you bought. On my desk, I have two different kinds. I have the page-a-day calendar, where all you see is one day, with the date on it. It's an imitation of Christ's calendar, and on each day there's the month and the date, and then a little line from that wonderful devotional classic. How many of you have a page a day calendar? Okay. The other one is what they call a week at a glance calendar, where you see the 7 days of the week all printed on the same page. You can flip through the weeks, and even if at the beginning of each month there's the month at a glance as well. Karen on her desk has one of those big month at a glance calendars. Which one's better? They both are. I like the page a day calendar because it reminds me that this life comes to me one day at a time. And the better I am at focusing on this day, the better my life is and the more faithful I am. So I'm not constantly turning to the pages ahead, assuming that somehow I'm in charge there, or that I'm looking back at the days gone by with either the temptation to rest on my laurels or be completely attacked by remorse. I think it's better to follow Jesus' teaching that each day brings enough anxious thoughts of its own. We should be like the birds of the air and the beautiful flowers of the field that God takes care of one day at a time. On the other hand, life has its deadlines. Those of you who teach know this well. Sometimes, I don't know how Newcastle schools work, some schools require teachers to turn in their lesson plans a week ahead of time or even more than that. My wife has this blue thing she carries around with her constantly because she's having to find out whether it's a blue day or a gold day and who she has that day and how she's going to follow the curriculum and all those good things that teachers do. Plans have to be made. We're having a wedding in July. Anybody that's ever been in charge of planning a wedding knows you've got to look ahead, or you're not going to get the venue that you want. You're not going to get the people you want to be involved in it. Sometimes they even send out these save the date cards for all the people that are going to be invited to the wedding. You have to plan ahead. What's wrong with that? Nothing necessarily. You have to do it. Appointments have to be kept. There's a future that we can look forward to with anticipation and joy even. I have to make my plans. But I better write them in pencil. All right? We walk by a growing trust, not by our attempts to control life. We walk by faith and not by sight. Yes, I see the time. Cut to the chase here. We walk faithfully when we walk together. We're not made to live in splendid isolation. I get into trouble when I wander off somewhere by myself. I need other people to encourage me, to hold me accountable, to share their journeys with me, sometimes to come alongside and put an arm around my shoulder and say, it's going to be okay. Sometimes to challenge me and say, straighten up and fly right. But think about it, that we walk by faith and not by sight. It's a we thing. The Christian faith is a one another faith. The prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, the Our Father, it's all ours, us. There's no me, my, or I anywhere in that prayer. We walk in loving community, not by going it alone. We walk by faith and not by sight. I want to sum it up this way. Faith fits us best, fits me best, when it's about a growing trust in the way, the truth, and the life as Jesus made it known to me. I'm a Jesus guy. We're friends of Jesus, right? That's what the Society of Friends is about. I'm driving in rush hour traffic in Chicago. It is miserable. I don't know my way around there very well. I'm not used to people cutting in and honking at me and making hand gestures to me and all those things. I'm trying to find the hotel where we've booked for the night. I have no idea how to get there. I don't even know where I am. Am I lost? No. You know why? GPS. The GPS lady knows everything. I'm so grateful. Turn left in 0.3 miles onto Lakeshore Drive. As we travel through the year ahead, we don't know for sure where we're going. We don't know which bridges are out. We don't know where all the potholes are. We don't know when we're going to have to make a detour. We need some guidance from someone like the GPS lady. There's a metaphor, God and the GPS lady. Someone who sees it all from above. Because we can't be lost. We cannot be lost if Christ is with us, the light of the world. Who says, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So what have I said? Good question. I've tried to say this. Arrogant know-it-allness, if that's such a word. Clutching control. Trying to do it all by myself. Being undependable and not loyal, that's a pair of shoes that don't fit. It causes pain. but open-minded teachability, humility, realizing that we need each other, and finally trusting that this Quaker thing that we emphasize all the time around here, that of God in every person, that's there. And our part's to learn to listen to it, to walk by faith, not by sight. Try those shoes on. Amen.